wet sticks, chonks, chunks, nodes, leafless nodes. This propagation method that we discussed today has a lot of names that I didn't know about until I went down a YouTube rabbit hole when I was first researching this concept. But plant friends, whatever you call this method of propagation, it is exciting and fun and a highlight of the last few months for me. I'm going to be honest with you. I've been podcasting now for 4 years, interviewing experts about plant care. And I've been around the block now. Usually when I do these interviews, I have some sense of what we're talking about and a general understanding of the care guidelines that we're going to dive into. But I was a total newbie when I started researching what a leafless node propagation might look like. I had never even heard of it until a listener turned online plant friend Joey of Joey De La Plants messaged me and offered me a variegated Monstera Albo node, quote unquote, wet stick. At that point, I had no idea what a wet stick was, but I knew that I really wanted a variegated Monstera Albo node. So I went down the YouTube and Google warp hole and realized that there is an entire fun propagation method that's super simple that tons of people are doing that I didn't know about. So I got this node on March 5th. It is now July 6th as I record this episode, which will air later this month. We're almost 4 months in, and plant friends, I have to say the process of rooting this wet stick, this little nothing node that has turned into a plant, has been so fun. And my friend Peyton from Bloom Daddy actively uses this method all the time to run his rare plant shop, and he's joined us for a really epic collaboration and episode today all about what I've been doing for the last 5 months secretly, worried that I might do it wrong, and teaching us all as a community how to do this wet stick propagation method. Plant friends, we went overboard with the cross-platform collaboration surrounding this episode. We've got giveaways, we've got YouTube videos, we've got this podcast episode. I hope it makes you as giddy as it's made me. So welcome to episode 129 of
Bloom and Grow Radio.
You hear that slurping, plant friends? That is me on my dregs of my daily dose of greens, courtesy of today's sponsor, Equilibria. Equilibria is a woman-owned wellness brand with unique science-backed products that help bring your mind and body back into harmony. I always have loved green juice and greens powders. Obviously, I love plants. I love growing plants. I love eating plants. Plants are good for you. And I have tried most greens powders brands on the market, honestly, at this point. I have to say, I'm really loving the Equilibria Daily Nutri-Greens. I might argue it's probably one of the best tasting greens powders I've ever had, and that says a lot because I've tried most of them. The Equilibria Daily Nutri-Greens contains an immune antioxidant and detox blend along with prebiotics, probiotics, and over 35 fruits and veggies. There's no way I'm eating 35 fruits and vegetables throughout the day, but I love that I'm getting little doses and the micronutrients that are in each of the different veggies and fruits, right? Plus, they're certified organic, which I love. A lot of the competitors are not. I just mix one scoop of the greens powder into my water every day, and I'm shocked at how delicious this powder tastes. It's kind of like apple juice. I started back on the greens powder bandwagon because this spring, in this like season of rejuvenation, I'm kind of rejuvenating, doing an overhaul of my health. I've returned to my workout routine. I'm getting in more sleep. I've recommitted to my morning practice, and I've made this Equilibria Nutri-Greens part of that morning practice, drinking the powder in water in the morning. Plus, I love a female-founded company, right? Don't we all? If you want to try this greens powder, Equilibria is hooking you up with 15% off. Head to myeq.com and use code BLOOM for 15% off Equilibria's daily Nutri-Greens and so many other different products on their website. That's myeq.com and use code BLOOM at checkout for 15% off site-wide today. Okay, plant friends, this is like a really epic episode for you. I'm so excited about it. We've got three different Bloom and Grow media platforms contributing to it. This epic interview with Peyton from Bloom Daddy on this podcast, this is the real meat of it. But then there's a YouTube video where Peyton actually joined me on Zoom. First off, I show you my entire journey rooting that variegated Albo Monstera node, and then Peyton walks me through potting it up into soil after rooting it in sphagnum. And then we have an epic Instagram giveaway with Philodendron Pink Princess. I'll tell you more about that in a minute. But promise me to go watch the YouTube video. It pairs with this episode so well. If you have any curiosity around what Peyton and I talk about in this podcast and you want some more visuals, Peyton actually cuts some wet sticks to show you how to actually do it. And then I kind of show you my journey, and it's awesome. I gotta say, Plant Friends too, it's been a week since I shot the footage with Peyton for the YouTube video, and my plant has taken off in its new home. Like, the shoot that it had has already doubled in size since I potted it up in soil. I think I'm gonna have to actually swap the terrarium out because it's gonna hit the top of the terrarium soon. This is just like so freaking exciting. And we wanna bring this excitement that I'm going through to you guys. So we're doing a really fun giveaway on Instagram. Peyton is giving away 3 Philodendron Pink Princess wet sticks. So 3 lucky winners can actually take what you learned from this YouTube podcast collaboration and then take it to your own plant collection and have your own Philodendron Pink Princess. And also, those 3 lucky winners are going to also get 1 free month to the Bloom and Grow Garden Party platform. So everything's linked below, and make sure you check everything out. It's pretty epic. Speaking of epic, we still have Patreon plant friends rolling in. The members of our community that are supporting Bloom and Grow out of the kindness of their hearts. Thank you, Lauren, Emily, and Charlotte, our newest Patreon plant friends. And speaking of plant friends, our garden party is just humming. It is just literally blooming and growing over there. So much engagement, so much really interesting, meaningful conversation. I think something that is surprising me is I thought I was going to have to pose the conversation questions for the community to come in on. But like, man, everybody is posing the most interesting questions, having the coolest conversations. I'm loving it. If you want to join us in the Garden Party platform and app that I designed for our community, you can click the link below to learn more. Okay, obviously I'm excited about this conversation and this episode. I'm going to cool down, I'm going to relax, and I'm going to introduce you to Peyton, and let's get to this conversation. So here we go. Peyton, welcome to Bloom and Grow Radio.
It's an honor to be here. It is a big honor to be with you, Maria.
I'm so happy to have you. We have a fun mutual connection. My cousin, Angela, connected us like, I want to say maybe over a year ago, and I have been very overwhelmed with a few projects, and we finally got in touch, but the timing is perfect because I am knee deep in my first node propagation. So this is the perfect timing for us to actually connect and have you on the show.
It's an exciting time, and congrats on all those big accomplishments, by the way.
Thank you. So before we dive into this wet stick, leafless node, bare node, whatever you want to call it, propagation dump, tutorial, chunk, right, chunk, whatever you want to call it. First, we got to know who Peyton is, what Bloom Daddy is, and how you're kind of slowly and surely becoming a node rare plant purveyor expert.
That's right. Well, thank you. Yes, my name is Peyton. Mutual friend Angela put us together about a year ago, and I got into houseplants probably about a year before that. So overall, with my term with houseplants, it's only been about 2 years, but my journey starts back in high school when I was 15 years old with tomato seeds and basil. That's how I started this whole vegetable gardening journey. I was that weird kid in high school who was obsessed with plants. I would bring my friends' plants to school. Hey, try this. Hey, try that. I like literally have videos on my phone of my mom, my dad, my sister, all trying like my first tomato fruits that I grew back in high school. And, you know, I thank YouTube for that. YouTube was a great resource for me learning all these things. And I think your podcast is also like a really good resource for people to get inspired to grow. And, you know, I started with vegetables. Then in college and my early years in college, I also got into native plants and then transitioned into houseplants after college.
And you're in California, so you've got just snake plants as hedges outside. I'm so jealous of everyone I interview who lives in California.
Oh my goodness. You don't even know. Snake plants, cactus, tropicals. I have a monstera right next to one of my banana trees. It's beautiful.
Right. And you can have a banana tree outdoor instead of like trying so hard to keep it alive indoors in New York City the way I did.
Oh, my goodness.
And where does Bloom Daddy come into play here?
So Bloom Daddy started when I moved back home from college. I used to work for a really awesome houseplant company/startup called Gardenuer back in the Bay Area. They're a really cool online plant marketplace where you can buy and sell plants, kind of like Etsy, but specifically for plants. So great people, love them very much. Definitely check out their website. Really great for the Bay Area. And after I learned a lot about the houseplant industry, I came back home, got my greenhouse going, and just started growing a collection of crazy rare houseplants that I found from suppliers overseas, local collectors, and then, you know, people all around our country. It's crazy how many people are in this hobby together growing plants. It's crazy.
It is. It's been a wild year. And you are specifically more into hard to come by, rarer plants. I don't even like using the word rare. I feel like it's very triggering for people, but but harder to come by, interesting, unique houseplants. You're not growing, you know, your normal pothos or like even monsteras probably.
Yeah.
You've got the fancy stuff.
The fancy stuff. And here's how I like to describe it. It's rare because no one's growing it. Like if you look at nurseries in California, in anywhere in our country, they're growing really specific houseplants. They're growing anthuriums, but they're growing really common anthuriums of like five species. So there's a whole nother dozen species out there that no one's growing, which is why they're considered rare, because they're just not in supply. And now we're starting to see nurseries, you know, grow different varieties because of this, you know, trend in houseplants where people just want all the varieties and want all these beautiful shiny leaves. So I really try to focus on bringing new plants to market or really popular trendy plants to market in a bigger way. Obviously, I don't have a big reach, but it's big enough and I'm able to have hundreds of customers and make them really happy. So that's the goal. And it's been really fun.
I have to say, I was just gifted a Pink Princess established 4-inch pot plant last week. And man, they made my week, honestly, like fulfilling that dream. And you're going to make a lot of our listeners' weeks because we're doing a Pink Princess node giveaway on Instagram, which we'll share more about at the end of this episode. But I think that's cool. And you know, you're like a passionate home grower, but you've gotten your nursery license for your house. Like you're doing everything above ground. You've got all your certificates and licenses. It's very impressive, especially for how young you are. So I'm thankful. We've gone back and forth over text and a lot of voice memos, you coaching me along through this next part of my node journey.
Love all those node pictures, by the way. Those node pics.
Send me nodes. That's how I knew we'd be friends. I had texted him, hey, Peyton, can I ask you a question about my node? And he goes, send me nodes, send nodes. So first off, shout out to our listener, Joey De La Plants. He's a longtime listener of the show. He is the one who offered to send me this Monstera node 4 months ago that has gotten me to this point of having this conversation with you. So yeah, I've been on my own wet stick journey and it's been super exciting. We've got a little growth. We've got a nice juicy root, but I want you to walk our listeners through. When Joey sent me the node in March, there was still snow on the ground. I looked at this thing, this stump chunk, and I was like, there's no freaking way that this is going to root. Like, I just don't believe it. I had never heard of the method. When he offered to send me a node, I had never heard of that method. When it arrived, I was like, no way this is going to be a thing, but I decided to document it because why not? If you don't know something, it's a great opportunity to learn about it. And lo and behold, this little stick, I mean, I understand why they call it a wet stick, has a root and a little shoot right now. And it's kind of like next level fun to experience if you haven't experienced it before.
It's the coolest thing. I do it so much. I do it all the time. It's literally how nurseries grow nursery stock. It's one of the most effective and fastest ways to grow more plants that you currently don't have a lot of. Node cuttings are amazing. And I'm so happy you're doing an episode and recording every step of this journey to teach everyone in the community all about node propagation. There are so many different types of propagation out there. It is crazy. In fact, back when I was doing native plants, there was a method of germination for seeds called fire. You actually had to use fire to sprout seeds. There's a lot of different crazy ways, and node is a lot easier. Node cuttings are a lot easier than a lot of people think. So kind of talking about it will help, I think, give people the confidence to also just give it a try.
Yeah, because I feel like you associate node cuttings from once I started doing research with like super rare, hard to come by, intense, high maintenance plants. So it makes you think that probably the act of propagating by a node is also high maintenance, but it's like so chill. Like you stick it in sphagnum moss and just like live your life for a while.
Yeah.
So you touched on it a little bit. So what is a wet stick? Like what is it?
Yeah. So it goes by 100 different names, wet stick, chonk, node, auxiliary, bud, auxiliary node. What it is a piece of the plant, a point of attachment of a leaf or a twig on a stem for a certain type of plant. So in other words, a node is literally just a really small part of a plant that has the ability to turn into a completely new plant. That's the scientific definition of a node. Now, let me put it in words that I understand better and that everyone else will understand better. I like to think of it as this. A node is a battery. Okay. I actually learned this back when I was up in the Bay Area from a botanist, and he describes it like this. A node is a battery. It has the capacity to, you know, grow roots and charge its battery, or grow a solar panel and charge it by the sun. So there's different ways nodes can grow and kind of become a plant. And once you make that cut, you're able to grow that completely new plant on its own without any help from the mother plant.
Yeah. And the key part is that it can grow both a root and a shoot.
That's right.
So that you can get those two aspects of its new plant working in harmony together. So we'll talk about it in a little bit, but it was interesting for me to see this node grow roots first and not a shoot, and like being extremely stressed out about it. And so I think a lot of listeners, because I was in this boat as well, I thought that to make a propagation, you had to have a leaf because the leaf is where that photosynthesis was going to happen to make the new roots. But the interesting thing with these wet sticks, chonks, leafless nodes, whatever, is there's no leaf in this propagation process. It's literally just a little stick. And the other visual that's not scientific and that people will probably call me out for is, for me with nodes, I feel like they look like the knuckles of a plant. Like if you look at the stem, there's that little line, that little like, you know, swollen kind of line. That's where the node is. So take our two ideas and go locate the nodes on your plants, plant friends.
Try to create a little, you know, imaginary version of what we just described and see what that turns out. You know, that Frankenstein version of our, you know, metaphor. What you see at that node point, though, is what you're talking about is a leaf scar. And usually right above that is the bud, the active growth point that is dormant when it's attached to the mother plant because of a chemical called auxin. With plants, just to be get a little scientific, but not too scientific for you guys, it has an apical meristem. The top shoot, where new leaves are coming out of, that is shooting down a chemical into all the other buds because it's preventing them from growing. So it prioritizes growth. You know, as a botanist, as a horticulturist, you can really train your plants to grow in whatever ways you want. You could have it climb a wall. Like I see in your background, you have a nice Tetrasperma climbing a wall and you have a Monstera Peru climbing. You can like train your plants to do crazy things in your home. You could train them to go all around your TVs, you know, anywhere. What you can do is you can also cut them and have them grow new shoots and crazy auxiliary lateral shoots. So that's what nodes really do. Nodes are just dormant branches that can grow completely new stems once they're activated and the auxin isn't as there.
Okay. So that's what a wet stick is. I don't even know what the best word to refer to it is. I mean, I guess we can call it a wet stick or we can just call it a node. And you said, so why do people use this method? You said nurseries use this method a lot.
It's a really fast way to grow. Yeah. Nurseries use it a lot. It's a fast way to grow plants and propagate. So the most common ways for propagation are by seed propagation. So you let a plant get mature enough to where it seeds. You see this a lot with anthuriums because one inflorescence can produce dozens and dozens of seeds. So seed propagation is like the most popular, the most common. But then there is node propagation, and that's second best to seed propagation for houseplants because of how many parts of a plant you can cut up and turn into new plants. The third, which I don't recommend because, you know, there's a lot of science involved and it's also super trendy and it doesn't always give you the results that you want, is tissue culture. Those are like the top three propagation methods. And I choose nodes because I choose nodes because I love when people send me nodes, right? No, the reason why I choose nodes is because it's really easy to do as an amateur, you know, nursery mm-hmm. and as an amateur gardener. So that's why I do it.
And I think this brings up too, because it's kind of fun, you know, with nodes, I think you see a lot of YouTubers that have their prop boxes and they've always got a prop box going and there's always something in the prop box. And it's just like fun experiments that you can like toss in. And I feel like that's kind of where nodes come into play. So what's required? Like what materials do you need if you want to experiment with propagating this way?
What I recommend everyone who tries to propagate is, you know, get a clean pair of scissors, get some knives you could chop up these nodes with, number one. Number two, sphagnum moss. Sphagnum moss is the best medium for propagation of nodes. I use sphagnum moss for everything, not even nodes, even growing as well. So sphagnum moss is number two. Number three, a light source. If you're living in an apartment, you know, the best thing you could do is have a light source available, whether it's an LED grow light or morning light is best. You don't need a lot of light for nodes, but you do need some light. And then lastly, what you need is a humidity chamber, something that will keep the humidity in so the node doesn't dry out. They're called wet sticks for a reason. They're not called dry sticks. They're called wet sticks because if they dry, they will get ruined. They will not be able to grow new. So the key is to get it to the level of moisture that will make it happiest. And managing that moisture level isn't hard. You just have to have the right environment for it to thrive. And that is something you, Maria, have done an amazing job with for your album.
So let's talk about prop boxes and humidity for a minute. So what is the ideal humidity that you want your humidity chamber to be at?
Okay, so you want to keep it around 75 to 90%. That is what I do. I don't go below 75, but sometimes it goes way above 90. Sometimes it's like 100% humidity in there and it gets a little dangerous when you get below or high, you know, and I have a lot of propagations going. So it's something that I have to keep a close eye on. But for example, in case I don't have a humidity chamber, a really cheap and effective way is with a plastic bag or saran wrapping the top if it's just a node and it has no leaves. Those are like two ways that I use a lot of. I just have to air it out every now and then because that humidity can ruin and rot the wet stick. That's something to keep an eye on when you try to add too much humidity.
Yeah, rotting is a big thing. As I've been experimenting with growing under glass in my dry ass log cabin that I currently live in, I'm trying to keep some high moisture plants alive. I've noticed that if I don't, Leslie Halleck, my friend, calls it burping your terrariums, which is like letting some air out, you know, like taking the top off, letting some fresh air come back in. But if I don't do that, I will notice sometimes it'll get too humid and a little mold will cover it. But like you can pretty much just wipe the mold off and burp it and give it some fresh air and you're fine.
Right.
So yeah, like I see a lot of the YouTubers that I've watched in prep for my node experience, like have little plastic Tupperware containers, you know, that they, it doesn't need to be fancy. I upcycled a venti Starbucks iced cup, you know, those Starbucks cups.
Oh, cheers. Yes, cheers. I'm actually growing plants in those right here. Check
yeah,
this one.
Exactly. Look at that. Oh my God. Is that, what is that? A Anthurium?
This one's an Anthurium Forgetii.
That's amazing. On his desk, he just pulled it into the frame. It's a Starbucks venti cup filled with sphagnum moss and a gorgeous Anthurium. But yeah, so I started my node in Billy's upcycled Starbucks cup filled, you know, 3/4, maybe 6/8 of the way with sphagnum moss. And then with the top on, so there was that little hole spout at the top. And then Leslie gifted me this like gorgeous glass terrarium that I ended up moving the node into. The node at that point had like a little nubbin of a root, but I moved it into that. And that's when the node totally took off. So I'm definitely feeling like glass is pretty cool. But yeah, we're about to hop over to my YouTube channel to repot my rooted node into the next step. And I have a little bootleg set up with another upcycled delivery container that's going to hold me over until I get my next terrarium. So it's not cost prohibitive, this thing. You can literally use a delivery. I've seen people use delivery containers with glass tops Or you can get fancy with fish tanks or, you know, glass stuff as well if you want to get real fancy with it.
Yeah, I mean, what your friend gifted you is really awesome. And what I even tell people is, like, it's really more importantly, like, how you cut the node versus how you grow the node. Because once the node is cut and it's a node, then it's like, okay, you know, you just throw it in the prop box. But it's the cut that is so important. So that video we do after this, that'll really help people kind of get an understanding of exactly what to do once they see it. That'll be important.
Okay, so this is the perfect leeway into the biggest question. Peyton, how do we do it? I got my node. So you bring up a great point. If I wanted to take a node propagation, how do I cut it? What do I need to look for? When I got my node, it definitely was calloused on each side and looked like it was treated. So what do we need to think about with that?
So the whole, I guess, creating a node thing is this. Number one, locate the leaf. We'll show you when we do the video. Locate the leaf, locate that leaf scar. Right above that will be the bud, will be the little growth potential point that will swell and then give you a new leaf and then give you a whole new plant eventually. But what you need to do is, yeah, get a really nice sharp pair of scissors or propagation tool. I use an X-Acto most of the time, and slice and slice both ends. And one node is one auxiliary bud, one leaf scar. That's it. That is one node. It's safer to do two nodes. It's safer to do more because then you're giving the plant more options. Like, for example, on my desk here, I also have a Thai constellation node that has like three different nodes on it so that it can go three different growth points. Thai constellations are notorious for having small internodes, and internodes is the space in between the nodes. So you really just want to cut on in the internode space so that the node itself is safe and ready to grow.
Thank you, Territorial Seed Company, for sponsoring today's episode. Plant friends, garlic planting season is just around the corner already. We're like halfway through spring summer. What? Territorial Seed Company has everything you need to get growing through the fall and winter months. Once you've tasted garlic out of your garden, you might never want to settle on grocery store types again. I didn't really know that garlic was such a big thing, but I have to say, now that I'm speaking to more outdoor gardeners as I do my first garden series interviews, as I'm spending more time with Melody in her garden, all of the gardeners I talk to rate garlic as one of their top picks to grow. It's planted in the fall and harvested the following summer. It's super simple and a very rewarding process. And garlic is very diverse, with flavors ranging from mild, sweet, and mellow to hot and spicy. The varieties come in big, bulky heads or smaller, more delicate bulbs. And Territorial Seed Company, like, specializes in garlic. Like, they're kind of a big deal when it comes to garlic. So if you have any curiosity around growing hardneck or softneck garlics, in addition to other fall things that you can grow, like shallots or even winter vegetable seeds, everything you need to grow your garden year-round, Territorial Seed Company has. Check them out. And their garlic sells out kind of quickly because they're kind of famous for it. So if you want to check it out quickly. You can go to territorialseed.com and use code BLOOM10 at checkout for 10% off your first order. Thank you to Deer Busters for sponsoring today's episode. Plant friends, if you are struggling with deer or wildlife in your gardens, which you probably are because it's like the main issue for most gardeners, you might want to consider a deer fence or a wildlife fence, which is the easiest way to keep deer and wildlife from munching on your vegetables and tomatoes that you're working so hard to grow. Deer Busters easy-to-install fencing kits are a great option. Oh my goodness, plant friends, when I moved to our current home on 5 acres in the Catskills, this city girl had no idea about the struggles of trying to garden in a rural area with deer, with bears, with wild turkeys. I mean, there's wild turkeys on my property every day. We currently have a mama and baby deer on our property almost every day, and the little Bambi comes and visits us, but I don't want to share my garden with Bambi, no matter how cute it is. And the deer are amazing to look at, but I want to look at them and I don't want to be stressed about having them in my garden. And I know that I'm not the only one, because when I polled our listener community, one of the biggest stressors with having an outdoor garden was managing deer. And so this partnership with Deer Busters is the answer for you. They make easy to install fencing kits that solve this problem. They are super easy to install for even people who aren't handy like me. The kits come with everything you need to install them, no fancy hardware required, no contractors required to install these kits, and they're customizable by linear feet, corners, ends, gates, tensioning, and are rodent barriers, and they require no professional installation. If you need wildlife fencing, consider Deer Busters. You can go to deerbusters.com today to protect your plants tomorrow and use code BLOOM at checkout for 10% off. Once again, that's deerbusters.com today to protect your plants tomorrow and use code BLOOM at checkout for 10% off. Is there an angle you're supposed to cut into at? Anything like that?
The answer comes down to this. As much as you can, the more space you can give the node, the better. It's more forgiveness. Let's say a piece of it rots, just cut it back a little bit. The more space you can give the node, the better. It doesn't need all that space. No, it just needs the node, like literally the node. So I've had cuttings that are about like less than the size of my fingernail. So small, grow into giant plants because you don't need that much. But if it rots, it's rotted. Like you can't save that node. It's gone forever. It's dead. It's compost for other nodes. So the more space you can give it, the better.
Okay. And then do you let it callus after? Is there a curing period before you throw it in your prop box?
So for different plants, I give them different times. Like for example, with Hoya, you have to give those 24 hours to callus. I do it longer. I let them callus. And same with succulents too. Like for most like succulents and Hoyas, you want to let them callus for 24 hours minimum. But with, you know, philodendrons and with monsteras, you don't have to wait. You can wait 30 minutes to a couple hours, but you don't have to wait for it to kind of scar or callus over. If you're going to like send it in the mail to someone, yeah, it's kind of important you do that process. But like if you're trying to grow it and you're just cutting it and plopping it in some moss, you're good to go. No wait time needed.
And what's the purpose of letting it callus? Is it to avoid rot?
It's to avoid rot. It's to avoid any kind of bacteria as well from just infiltrating. So rot is kind of like the main thing.
Got it. Okay. So we've cut our node and we've let it cure if we've needed to, or we've received one in the mail like I did. What's the next step?
The next step is to activate that node. That node right there, like going back to our metaphor, is a battery. That is waiting to charge, you know, and waiting to grow a whole new plant. So in order to like really get that node happy, one thing we haven't talked about yet is temperature. Get it into a nice, warm, humid environment and get it growing. See, a lot of people also don't know this. The stem on Monstera and Philodendron also photosynthesizes. So although your node doesn't have a leaf, it's still getting energy from the sun because the node itself is green. Some older nodes, the Precambrian bark layer, or, you know, collenchyma or whatever you want to call it scientifically, is so dark you don't see the green and it's really woody. It's harder to kind of grow those woodier ones, but if it still has green on it, it's young, that's the best kind of node. That will grow if you give it some sunlight, and that will activate it to really make it grow a lot faster. So when doing this whole prop box situation, make sure you put your node on top. Like don't bury the node. Put it on top of the moss, put it on top of the soil, whatever kind of medium you choose, and let it do its thing.
Okay, so we've assembled our prop box. Here's a question. What does damp sphagnum moss mean to you? I feel like damp, like if I wring it with my hand, should water be dripping out? If I wring it, should it actually not be that damp? Like I feel like getting the moss, and this is something that I was very stressed about when I first potted mine up, is like, what does that damp actually mean? I understand it's so important, but I also don't want to rot it and make it too wet.
I love this question. I actually created a YouTube video just to answer the different levels of moisture for sphagnum moss, because
we'll link to it. Perfect. Okay.
People don't like growing with sphagnum moss because they don't know how to. They're afraid of the moisture because sphagnum moss can hold so much moisture, but it also can get really, really dry. So understanding the level of your moss is important. And I think I differentiated it into four different categories. One, dehydrated. Two, hydrated. Three, moist.
Oh,
and then four is wet. It's like soaked. Yeah. So there's like four different, and in the YouTube video, I kind of talk about how to get it to the rehydrated state and wet state, because you kind of want it somewhere in the happy medium, fluctuating between rehydrated and moist, but you don't want it wet and you don't want it dehydrated.
Rehydrated and moist is, if I squeeze it, water isn't coming out, but it feels damp to touch.
Yeah. So what happens is when it's dehydrated and you put it in a bucket of water, it gets wet. Like it's automatically wet. So what you want to do is with that wet moss, you want to take your hands like you're talking about and squeeze all the moisture out of it. Then it becomes rehydrated, just kind of like a nice light coloring to it. Beautiful, soft growing medium, not soaked, just rehydrated. And then what happens is dries out over time, like let's say a week. So you want to rehydrate it a little bit more, keep it to that same moisture level, usually with a spray bottle, and then you get it wet. But since it's hot and it's warm, it gets rehydrated pretty quick and fluctuates between the two.
Got it. Oh my God, that's so helpful. And we'll link to that video. So if people want to take a deeper dive, that sounds really interesting for you to have those four different levels. So we've got the prop box. So yes, this was very interesting to me. So Joey really coached me along in my first potting up, and he said, you sit it on top of the node. And then he also said sometimes even put a little bit of sphagnum moss, like kind of on top of it. Like you don't want it buried, but there was like a little aerial root that was attached to the Monstera node. It was like a tiny little nub of an aerial root. And he was like, put a little sphagnum moss on top of it just to like really get it going. So you're sitting it on top. And then how much space should there be between the top of the node and the top of your prop box? Because I think people also get confused. How high in the prop box should the sphagnum moss rise to?
Yeah, that's a great question. So when it comes down to it, you don't really need a lot of moss and you don't need a lot of space. I can grow nodes in, like you were talking about, a Starbucks cup. I could grow it smaller in a 2-inch nursery cup. In fact, you know, I have some pink princess right behind me growing in these little small Dixie cups, and I just put Saran wrap over the top of them and burp them, you know, quite frequently. So I would say like once every day, once every 2 days max, I burp them from the Saran wrap. But you don't need a lot of space and you don't need a lot of moss, because here's what's going to happen. The node needs to activate and it needs to grow, but it's not going to grow super fast. Like you said, you've been doing this since March.
It took me 3 months to get a root, but I also, in looking back, like I didn't have a heat mat. My sphagnum moss was cold. I probably could have put it higher. So I think there were also things that I did that didn't necessarily accelerate my growth. But yeah, it took me 3 months to get a root.
That's, yes, and that's good. You know, I have a lot of heat mats. Heat mats are a great addition, but you don't need it, but it does help speed up the process. So you don't need a lot of space, because once you start seeing the growth, it'll have, you know, some, if any, roots. And then at the time it has its new leaf and, you know, second leaf, that's when you can get serious about repotting it. But truthfully, philodendrons, monsteras, they're okay being root bound. I mean, they grow really quick and they'll take over any pot you give it. So give it time, let it get established in a really small area and then grow big, or give it a big area if it's going to be there for a while. But if you don't plan on it being in the same prop box for, you know, growing season, then just, small space is okay.
And what's the light situation? So you get it put in the prop box, you've got the top on. How far are you putting it from the light? How much light does it need? Like, walk us through the lighting aspect at this phase of the node.
Since it's a node with no leaves, you do need to give it that light source. So I have these LED grow lights from a company called Barina on Amazon. They have two different types, T5 and T8. T8 is high intensity, kind of more for some serious like vegetable operations or marijuana operations. T5 is more of like the standard for houseplants. It also is known to like burn houseplants, the T8 version. So T5 is like a really great light source that I use for all my houseplants. And I keep that about 12 to 18 inches. So about a foot, foot and a half away from the node. It can be closer. It could be farther, but I keep mine 12 to 18 inches.
Okay, cool. And are you doing that on a 12-hour on, 12-hour off cycle?
That's the best. With nodes, they don't need as much time with light as, you know, your typical houseplant. I put my houseplants on 16 hours on, 8 hours off, and then my nodes are on 12 hours on, 12 hours off.
Okay, sweet. So what are we looking for in this period of time?
We're looking for no rot. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Okay. Just keep it alive, keep it happy. And you're really looking for a swell in the auxiliary bud. You want to see that bud start swelling and kind of getting plump and fat and ready to explode. That's how I think of it. Like, you know, a pregnant stem, a pregnant wet stick, ready to take off and open up some new growth. That's the really only visual. I rarely ever see roots like yours, unless it is an aerial root that is taking off. Like, without the aerial root, you know, you really only see the new bud coming. And that's the most exciting thing for me, is watching that bud just get a little bit bigger every day.
Oh my God. That's so exciting. I'm loving it right now. So you got your wet stick, you didn't rot it, you start seeing a little bit of growth, then what?
After you start seeing that little first bit of growth, you just want to just keep on cheering her on and rooting for her and just, you know, be in there for her. Keeping that environment as it is the best thing you could do. Giving it the time it needs to really just take off. It's a timely process. You know, it's not a fast paced process. So the more time you can give it with that humidity, the better. I would say once it has that first leaf, you could then take it out of the humidity. But truthfully, keep it in there as long as you can, because it'll grow faster with that humid environment.
Okay. And then when do we start transitioning out of just the pure sphag? Because eventually these plants need nutrients. So when do we start transitioning? What's the sign?
That's right. That's a great question. So once you start getting a nice established root system, once you get that first, you know, aerial root that starts branching out with lateral side roots, I love to give my plants 50-50, I call it. The Bloom Daddy 50-50, you can call it. It's at the bottom, it's 50% soil and 50% moss. And so what I do is I take the node with the root.
So sorry, just to clarify, because we've talked about this, you're saying the bottom 50% of the pot is soil and the top 50% of the pot is sphag. You're not mixing those two together. You're
exactly
doing 50-50. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like kind of mimicking like a forest nature environment for these nodes. Like, I'm letting it sit on moss, but I'm giving it that nice nutrient bank down below for it to grow and establish like a nice root system. And so yeah, 50% is my Monstera mix. The mix itself is 60% cactus mix, 30% orchid bark, 10% perlite, and a couple scoops of worm poop.
Oh, that's a very airy mix. Okay, sweet.
It's pretty fast draining. I mean, I don't need to store a lot of water because it's a Monstera, and the moss itself is like on a whole nother level. So kind of watering is a little bit tricky because I have moss on the top layer and then I have soil down below. But normally I just keep the moss moist and let the soil dry out and do its thing down below.
Okay. So when you've got the root system, and that's where my node is right
now. That's where we're at right now.
Yeah, that's where we're at right now. So we're going to go on YouTube, the companion video of this, and you're going to walk me through this exact step that we're talking about. You pot it up. Are you still putting that plant under some sort of humidity dome in some sort of prop box?
I put them in my greenhouse. So that's like the number one thing I recommend is, yeah, humidity and heat. When it gets to that point, I give it a little bit less humidity, though. I put it on the bottom shelf in the greenhouse, so it's a little bit cooler, not as hot as it used to be. And it does get some nice natural light, but not as much humidity and not as hot. So yeah, you taper down, like, you know, it's in a greenhouse still, so it's humid and it's hot, but it's not as hot and not as humid down there.
Okay. And then the plant starts throwing off new growth. It throws one leaf, then there's another leaf. And then when is it time to fully like transition it out of your greenhouse into the world?
Oh my goodness. I mean, I don't know if I have the heart to ever transition any of my plants out into the real world, but you know, I do at the time I need to. So whenever I run out of space, I just pick one that's looking really good and, you know, list it on my Etsy. So it really just comes down to that. But at the end of the day, I've sent in the mail, just so you know, like I've sent nodes, I've sent leaf cuttings, I've sent every piece of a plant, including full plants, in the mail. So there's really no, it's hard to answer that question because there's really no perfect time. Ideally, you want to just make sure you're selling what you're selling. You don't want to list it and sell it as like a full plant when it's just a cutting with a leaf or, you know, something like that. So I guess if I were to sell it as a full specimen, as a full plant, it needs to have roots. It needs to be in a 4-inch pot minimum if I'm selling it as a full plant. And it needs to be in the bottom part of my greenhouse.
Okay. Well, and also just for us at home who are doing that, is there a certain sign? Is there a certain amount of leaves that we can transition ours out of our greenhouse prop box just onto our kitchen table or our living room table?
I mean, yeah. So monsteras are really adaptable. Like I said, I have one outside in California. So I think truthfully, whenever you feel like, you know, I would say 2 leaves is like will help, because the more leaves you have when it transitions out, the faster it'll still grow and produce and the hardier it is. So the longer, the better. So yeah, if it has more leaves and it has more roots.
Right. Then it's more established.
More established. It'll be better, hardier sort of thing.
Here's my plan. It's been in a completely enclosed terrarium. You and I are going to bump mine up to another enclosed terrarium with a little bit more space because my plant has been in with my other tiny plants. Once I've got like 1 leaf or 2 leaves, then I think I'm going to bump it up into a bigger terrarium that has a larger space and a hole on the top. So the humidity will be circulating a little bit more. I think it'll be lower humidity. And then I'm going to be like a helicopter plant parent, and I'll probably like take the dome off for 12 hours, put it back on while I sleep, and just kind of help it adjust. But we'll see. Well, I say that, but also we'll see if I actually do that.
Didn't last month or earlier this month, you like propagated some peperomia?
Yeah. Well, I did another experiment. These were petiole cuttings, but I grow 1 alocasia under glass. And the way that I grow it, because I took it home and it did not like my cabin, it has a large dome on top of it. And at the bottom of the dome, I have damp sphagnum moss surrounding the alocasia that like helps increase the humidity. And so one day I'm very clumsy, and I knocked my peperomia hope over and I snapped a stem off of it. So I took all the leaves off and I just stuck them in the damp sphagnum moss. Nice. And I was like, this is kind of a prop box. Like, let's just see what happens. And then I like fully forgot about the plant for a month. But I came back, I was finally watering it and the moss was still damp. And to my surprise, all of the little petioles rooted. So I have like 5 or 10 baby peperomia hopes.
Oh, I love that. I love how you just found this opportunity to grow some plants and some moss, and then you did it.
Yeah. It worked. Curiosity is awesome. And as I grow as a plant parent, I mean, I think we all are here, but you get really comfortable in what you've learned. And curiosity is like one of my favorite parts about being a plant parent, is like staying curious and continuing to grow. So now I'm like starting to do all sorts of weird stuff just to see.
Yeah, it's really funny though. Like, there was no worrisome that the peperomia was going to die. You already thought it was dead. You know, you just kind of threw it in some moss.
Yes.
And it just like lived, and you were just really happy it did. That's the thing with this propagation in nodes. Like, we talk about it for what, 30 minutes to an hour of like growing these nodes, because we don't want them to die. We don't want them to die. They're precious. We want you guys to have nodes that'll survive and turn into big plants, because these nodes are expensive. You know, these nodes are expensive, especially for these rare ones.
I think that's where the stakes get a little high. And I think that's why the rare plant community sometimes is a bit controversial as well, in terms of like drama and like issues. It's because like the stakes just get so much higher when, you know, you're dropping $250 on something and, you know, it doesn't make it. So, but I think you're right. I think we want everyone to have this experience, and you have made such a generous offer that we're doing a giveaway in tandem with this episode release. And you're going to give away 3 philodendron pink princess nodes. Ah! Ah! So 3 lucky listeners will get to experience this wet stick propagation, and they'll also get a free month in the Bloom and Grow Garden Party platform. So everyone come visit my Instagram. We will have all the instructions there. It's going to go live the day this episode goes live and run end of August through that. What are the dates?
It's the dates for the giveaway. Well, I think the episode will release on the 27th of July, and then it will run until that next Wednesday, August 4th or August 3rd at midnight, 3rd. Sort of thing.
Yeah, Tuesday to Tuesday. So check that out. Yeah. Also, you guys, plant friends, Peyton has like a lot of cool plants in his Etsy shop. He's a cool guy. Obviously, you've given us so much information. So if people want to go check out all of the other kooky plants that you have, where can people find you and follow you and learn more from you?
Thank you. Instagram and the Instagram link, you could just click the link in the bio. I have a little website that has my Etsy link where I sell all my plants. So Instagram link in the bio sort of situation. You'll see all the plants on my Etsy. That's where, and then sometimes I do Instagram sales where I do like really flat, like really fast 24-hour sales on my Instagram stories. And I give rare plants at a pretty good discount. And I do a lot of like nodes and stuff too on Instagram. Like really cool stuff I just find in the greenhouse that I just like want to like, oh, here's a node. Let's sell it. You know, that sort
of thing.
Going, gone.
And your brand is Bloom Daddy, and it's a super fun, high vibe, good vibes only type brand. And I'm excited. You're like such a baby grower. I can't wait to see you bloom and grow this year. And yeah, and you're also in the Garden Party platform. So we'll see you there. And Peyton and I are now going to sign off this podcast interview and go over to a YouTube interview where I'm going to pot up my node. And I've also been documenting the entire node journey. So make sure to go check the YouTube video out that's a partner of this video. And make sure to go enter this giveaway because Philodendron Pink Princess, Peyton's not messing around with us.
No, we're not.
Well, thank you so much, Peyton. This was awesome. I've learned so much. And I can't wait to get potting up with you now.
It was a pleasure, Maria. Happy propagation, everybody. Let's get to it.
Woohoo! Okay, plant friends, I hope that you're curious about this wet stick propagation method. I've learned a lot. I gotta say, experiencing this plant come to life in this way, watching this little dead-looking wet stick come to life and sprout roots and sprout shoots, it has been so fun. Probably as fun as starting from seed. And I've really enjoyed it. I cannot wait. I'm going to have such pride and ownership over this Monstera if I can get it into a regular pot and have it be a regular established plant in my collection. But regardless, it's been a super fun experiment and I've learned a lot about growing plants from it. Make sure to check out the Instagram giveaway that we're giving away. Three lucky winners are going to get 1 month free membership to the Bloom and Grow Garden Party platform and their very own Philodendron Pink Princess wet stick that they can take the lessons learned in this podcast and try propagating on their own. And check out that YouTube video if you're curious and want to learn more and like want some visuals to accompany the conversation that we just had. And speaking of the garden party, if you haven't joined yet, I mean, what are you even doing? Come join us in the garden party. It's a platform and app private for our community, algorithm free. It's the kindest and plantiest corner of the internet. And it is so fun. You can scroll back in the feed and listen to the dedicated podcast episode that I did to tell you more about it, or you can visit jointhegardenparty.com to learn more. Now, I want to reinstate the little portion of the podcast in the beginning of the year that I was doing where I was playing trailers of other podcasts that I like to introduce you guys to other podcasts in different genres that I listen to. So today I wanted to introduce you to my friends Evie and Lindsay from the Heart and Hustle podcast. I was actually on their podcast this month talking about turning Bloom and Grow from a passion project into a business, but these girls are awesome and they're like your business boss babe best friends. They're great. They're super smart. They're super successful entrepreneurs. I know many people in this community are starting planty side hustles. Maybe dipping your feet in, you know, online marketing, maybe product development. And if you're interested in that, this podcast is a great choice for you. So I'm going to leave you with their trailer. And until next time, my sweet plant friends, as always, I hope you keep blooming and keep growing.
Hey, hey, Lindsay Roman here.
And I am Evie Rupp, and we are the hosts of the Heart and Hustle podcast.
It's a business, marketing, and lifestyle podcast for creative entrepreneurs and dreamers who love a good, down-to-earth girl chat mixed with some hardcore marketing strategies to help you build and scale a business that you love.
We drop episodes twice a week on Tuesdays and Thursdays, have a mix of episodes with just Lindsay and I, and bring on some of the best guests in the business to give you motivation, encouragement, and tangible strategies to help you build a meaningful life and legacy.
Some past guests we've had on the show include Jordan Lee Dooley, Dean Graziosi, Natalie Frank, JC Marie Smith, Dan Henry, Mike Michalowicz, Jamie Dana, Quigley and Alex Goody, and so many more.
Some topics we chat about regularly are Instagram marketing, selling, pricing yourself, websites, building a personal brand, healthy mindsets, faith, and I could rattle on for another 20 minutes.
Yeah, we talk a lot about a good stuff, and that did not make grammatical sense, but that's a pretty good indication for the the kind of girl chat you can expect on the show. So come on over to the Heart and Hustle podcast, which you can find on just about any streaming platform, for a little business cocktail hour with lots of laughs, inspiration, and two girls whose mission is to remind you that you can do this and that you're not alone.
All right, we will see you over at the Heart and Hustle podcast.
Plan friend, thank you for tuning in today. If you like what you heard, make sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. And while you're there subscribing, why don't you click over to the review section and leave us a review? It would be tremendously helpful for the show, so thanks in advance. If you're looking for more Planty content or ways to help and support the show or engage with our community, we've got a ton of options for you. So first, there's the free Bloom and Grow Plant Parent Personality Test. It is a super fun 3-minute test that I made for you that pairs you with your plant parent personality profile, where you'll learn your planty strengths and weaknesses and get a curated list of plants, projects, and podcast episodes that are right up your alley, tailored just for you. The test lives at bloomandgrowradio.com/personality, and you have to let me know what your results are on Instagram. You can find me on Instagram at Bloom and Grow Radio. If you're interested in supporting Bloom and Grow Radio, consider becoming a Patreon plant friend of the show. Patreon plant friends are members of the community who support the show monetarily on a monthly basis for as little as $4 a month, and these magical humans help support the show and bring our content to as many planty eyes and ears as possible. Once you join, you'll also get the secret password to our Facebook group, which I like to call the Plantiest Corner of the Internet. We have a lot of fun over there. You can become a Patreon plant friend at patreon.com/bloomandgrowradio. And of course, you can also just join our newsletter that I like to call the Garden Club. When you join our Garden Club, you'll receive a free download of the exclusive Molly Mansfield Keep Blooming print, which is so adorable. And I'll slide into your inboxes, usually only around twice a month, with plant care tips, recent episodes, and announcements. You can join at bloomandgrowradio.com/community. And for anything else, plant friends, I'm here for you. So feel free to drop me a line when you have an idea for an episode, an event, or maybe even if you're a planty business interested in sponsoring the show. Thanks again for listening. It is my honor and delight to help you keep blooming and keep growing. Plant friends, propagate knowledge, and grow some freaking joy. That's the motto of the Growing Joy Garden Society app and platform, otherwise known as the Plantiest and Kindest Corner of the Internet. If you've been an OG listener or a longtime listener, you might also know this app and platform as the Bloom and Grow Garden Party, but with the rebrand, we've rebranded it to the Growing Joy Garden Society. No trolls allowed, kind plant friends only. And if you haven't heard about the society yet, plant friend, you got to join. It's my online community that you can access via iOS or Android app or on your computer that I built to connect our international community of plant friends so we can all nerd out together about plants and celebrate our passion for our beloved plant babies. We have members literally all over the world. I'm so in love with this community of sweet plant friends. I can't say enough amazing things about them. But also, there's a lot of really cool features about the app you might be interested in. There's dedicated hashtags to all sorts of different subsects of planty passions, like houseplants, gardening, plant-inspired DIY projects, growing joy, plants and pets, and so many more. There's a plantrepreneur group, so if you're a planty entrepreneur and you want to connect with other planty entrepreneurs, you can join that group to connect and network. There's a plant swap section. Plus, the entire app, and this is my favorite part, is entirely searchable. So say you want to learn more about Hoya, you type the word Hoya into the search bar, and literally every post ever created about Hoya will pop up, so you can click in, see what other people have been posting about Hoya, and learn on your own and crowdsource hair information. It's so cool. But last but not least, it's an amazing way to support the show. Your monthly membership not only goes to sustaining the platform, but it also supports my team of editors, writers, and a community manager that help the world of Bloom and Grow keep growing. So come join us. All you got to do is go to jointhegardensociety.com and sign up for the community plan. Once again, you go to jointhegardensociety.com and click the community plan. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out
their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because Plant Friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little Plant Parent Personality Quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, Plant Friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.